Well, good morning and welcome everyone to this morning's service at Fordham All Saints and 8th Ash Green, Sunday the 13th of December 2020. I'm Nick Brett, a member of the congregation, and have the privilege of leading the service this morning. And I'm assisted by my daughter and wife Ali, who between them will read our Bible passage and lead us in our prayers. We look forward to Paul Southern preaching on John the Baptist, witness to Jesus. Now, we hope you've got sight of the service sheet for today's service, which you should have received by email, or alternatively, can be obtained directly from the church website. And it would also be useful to have a Bible handy. We'll be using the New International Version. Now, being in Tier 2 means we're able to once again have worship in church, and there's a small congregation here today. However, whether you're here in church or joining us online, it's great to have you with us. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we meet in his name, you will be among us and will hear our prayer. In your love and wisdom, give us grace, meet our concerns, and give us your greatest gift, which is to know you, the only true God, now and forever. Amen. Now, we begin our service by lighting our third candle on the Advent wreath and praying the Advent Collect. You can find this on the notice sheet on page 2. And the Collect is a prayer acknowledging how John the Baptist, as the Lord's messenger, prepared the way for Jesus. We pray that in the same way today, God will use his ministers to prepare us for Jesus' second coming when he will judge the world. Now, the Blight family are going to light the third Advent candle and lead us in the prayer.
Let's pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger John the Baptist to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just.
That at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. So, our first hymn this morning is Joy to the World, a wonderful, uplifting song building on today's collect. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Every heart.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
loving Lord, we rejoice in your great wisdom and strength, and thank you for being an ever-present help in time of need. Amen. And I now invite Jeanette Miller.
We can't see our friends or maybe even our families. And a lot of people have been sick and some people have died. I'm going to read a couple of verses from the Bible this morning from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. This is what it says. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. It's got quite a lot of difficult concepts in that couple of verses. And it talks about Christ being sacrificed to take away the sins of many people. Well, we don't talk about sin very much these days. And to help us understand what it is, we've got some little phrases that go with the letters of sin. Help us understand. So for the S, we say, shove off, God. For the I, which you'll notice is in the middle, we say, I'm in charge. And for the N, we say, no to your rules. So I wonder if we could say that together, just so we get the real meaning of it. So the S is shove off God. The I is I'm in charge. And the N is no to your rules. You see, sin is about an attitude, really. It's about me wanting to be in charge and not putting God in his rightful place. It's all about what I want to do and never mind about what God says. Now, we know that at Christmas, we remember that Jesus came as a baby. Cute baby, sometimes a bit smelly, maybe noisy, but a baby just like a normal baby. But Jesus came with the express purpose that when he grew up, he was going to die on the cross. That's what it means when it talks about being sacrificed for sin. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. So that instead of the I in the middle, I'm in charge, we could be forgiven for our sins and we could have Jesus in charge. And the verses that I read this morning talk about Jesus coming a second time, not to die on the cross, not to deal with the sin problem, because that's already been dealt with, but to come back to bring salvation to those who are trusting in Jesus. because Jesus is coming this time as a king with great power and glory. Because Jesus is king. And this morning, it's my prayer that Jesus will be in the center of our lives, that Jesus will be king of our lives, because he is coming back and we need to be ready for him. So my question this morning is, are you still in the middle? Or have you asked Jesus to be in the center of your life and to be your king and Lord?
Service where we pause and reflect upon the moments where we've failed God by not living up to his standards. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith together, and in a moment of quiet, think back on those occasions where we've fallen short of what God would wish for us. Let's confess our sins as we say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now Amber will come and read today's Bible reading.
Today's first Bible reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. That's John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The second Bible reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. That's John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent to question him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're now going to say the Apostles' Creed together, so please stand. And the Apostles' Creed can be found in today's service sheet and also on the screen above me. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please do sit.
Teach us, we pray, to be witnesses for you, Lord Jesus, this and every day. Amen. Now you can see me. I'm not sure whether that's such a good idea, but anyway. Seemingly out of the blue, a phrase from a worship song stuck in my mind as I prepared for today. And that phrase was, lives laid down in adoration. And the words are from the song, May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill This Place, which will be our worship song and our prayer at the end of my talk. I think this phrase, lives laid down in adoration, sums up the life of John the Baptist well. John the Baptist, who we traditionally remember and focus on this, the third Sunday in Advent. So then, a life laid down in adoration. You might like to open your Bibles at John chapter 1, and there are some headings which are questions of the text, really, as we go through. So John chapter 1, and John the Baptist, of course, appears in all four Gospels, near the beginning of each, and I shall refer to the synoptic Gospels from time to time, in order to try and paint a fuller picture of John the Baptist. But our focus will be on the Gospel writer's John, his account, which I think has a unique emphasis. Here John the Baptist suddenly appears in the narrative, and in John's Gospel his coming is woven into the coming of the eternal Word of God, Jesus Christ, the light and the life of men, the light that shines in the darkness to which John the Baptist witnessed. So let's just ask some questions then of the text. John the Baptist, who was he? Well, we need to go to Luke chapter 1. You might, if you are able to flick over quickly, that's fine, but I think I'll be able to lead you okay in this. In Luke chapter 1, we see that John the Baptist is the son of Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth. They were a godly couple. They were old, they were childless, and they were past childbearing age. An angel appeared to Zechariah, we're told, while he was in the temple, promising a son to them who, and I love this, was to be their joy and their delight. He is to be called John, who we are told was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will be great in the sight of the Lord. So I think it's worth saying here that always in our minds should be the important backdrop of the working of the Holy Spirit of God as we study the life of John the Baptist. Now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, he paints a visual picture of John the Baptist. His clothes were camel's hair, his diet locusts and wild honey. I never know quite what to make of that. But anyway, people sought him out in great numbers from Jerusalem, we're told, from all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, we see his outspoken fearlessness towards Herod leads to him being a victim of a very cruel trick, which in turn leads to his death. That's Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. So there's a little bit there. Who was he? Now, secondly, John the Baptist, when did he come? Well, in a great economy of words, in our Bible reading today, verse 6, we are simply told, there was a man sent by God. His name was John. Apparently, the Greek word used here for sent is eganeto, which means appearing on the stage of history. And we might add to that, he was anchored in human history. And Luke, in his Gospel, chapter 3, pinpoints the time, and it reads a bit like a who's who. Tiberius Caesar is the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was the longest-serving local governor of Judea. His was the difficult task of peacekeeper, guarding Roman interests in what was for him an alien Jewish culture opposed to Roman gods. The high priest was Caiaphas, and he worked for the Jews. He worked alongside Pontius Pilate for almost 10 years. And nearby was a dependent sovereignty run by the three sons of the much hated Herod the Great. And they were tetrarchs, which were subordinate rulers. God the Father put a specific timing on the fulfillment of the promises of the prophets regarding the coming Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. So who was he? When did he come? And thirdly, why did he come? Luke, again, in his Gospel, chapter 3, spells out in some detail the nature of John's ministry. John is passionate and vocal. His ministry was well known and had a great impact on his listeners. John excited people. The word of God in prophecy had not been heard for such a long time, and now he preached people's need for repentance and the remedy for the forgiveness of their sins. He called the crowds who came to see him brood of vipers. His was a message they didn't necessarily want to hear, but they needed to hear, and they couldn't keep away. And I guess perhaps it's a message that we don't necessarily want to hear, but we need to hear. John the Baptist's message was Christ-centered and Christ-focused. Have a look down at verses 7 to 8. He came as a witness to testify to the light. He made it clear that he was not the light, and that we might add there that all believers and followers of Jesus Christ are to be witnesses. That's what Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us. The pattern John set was through the witness to the light, Jesus Christ, men would come, and women, of course, would come to faith in Jesus. That's the pattern of John's witness. Okay, the next part, John the Baptist, what did he say? So I'm going to concentrate on what is recorded in our passage today from John's Gospel. You might like to follow down on these verses. What did he say? What did John the Baptist have to say? Well, verse 15, which we didn't have as part of our reading, says he cries out. John awakens them, not to himself, but to Jesus, who surpasses him and was before him from eternity. That is such a huge thing to get hold of. An Anglican bishop once remarked, wherever John the Baptist went, there was a revolution. And wherever I go, there are cups of tea. Verse 20, such was the impact of John the Baptist. The Jewish men of Jerusalem sent their religious heavyweights, the priests and the Levites, to investigate, to ask him who he was. And he replies by telling them who he isn't. He is not the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Verse 21, I'm not Elijah. The return of Elijah was to precede the coming of the Messiah. That's what the prophet Malachi had concluded. And I guess John was out of Elijah's mold. And he also said, I'm not a prophet. No doubt frustrated, now came the question, what do you say about yourself, so that we can tell those who sent us? Verse 23, he says, I'm a voice. It's not about me. I'm the messenger, not the message. And taking up the words of Isaiah the prophet that we heard last week, chapter 40 and verse 3, he says, I am the voice of the one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. Isaiah in that passage, of course, speaks of a highway for our God. In the north of the island of Majorca, before they blasted a hole through the mountain rocks, people had to travel village to village along a long, winding, and dangerously narrow road in the mountains. And when the new and direct road came, it changed absolutely everything. John, if you like, was smoothing the way, ready, and direct access to Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. So let's now look at verse 24. Now it's the turn of the Pharisees. They wanted to ask him questions. The Pharisees, of course, were custodians and strict interpreters of the law and wanted to examine the credentials of this preacher and baptizer. What right did he have to baptize if he wasn't the Christ, nor Elijah, nor a prophet? This was not for a theological discussion, more a question of how and what to do about this man who was disturbing the status quo. Verse 27, I'm not worthy to do the task for Jesus that even the lowest servant would do. taking off shoes and washing his feet. The sign and symbolism of the spiritual cleansing in baptism, of course, was important, but it isn't the whole story. In fact, it's only the beginning of the story. And in verse 26, there seems to be a hiddenness of Jesus there. But he is then proclaimed in verse 29 following. That's after, of course, our Bible reading this morning. And this is what John says. Here he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. And he points to Jesus in verse 33 of chapter 1. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So as I come to an end of this talk this morning, let me just ask, how can he inspire us today? How can John the Baptist inspire us today? I hope he's already inspired you, but let's just think about that. Just a bit of a light note here, if I may. My deafness often provides amusing mishearings. At our recent Zoom prayer meeting, Francis prayed that we would illuminate Jesus this Christmas time. And I thought he prayed that we would eliminate Jesus this Christmas time. Well, of course, he did not pray that. But it really got me thinking. In the light of John the Baptist this morning, it begged of me a question. What is it in my life that illuminates Jesus? And what is it too in my life that eliminates Jesus? And I think it's worth thinking about that in the days to come. What is it that illuminates Jesus in my life? And what is it that eliminates him? I started with a line from this lovely song. It reminds me of my days when I was a country vicar, and we used to sing "May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill This Place." We used to sing that a lot. Perhaps you'd like to open your service sheets at page 3, because I'd just like to lead us in a few thoughts about this and to apply them to ourselves. Jeanette's talk was lovely. It's quite difficult to go off centre, as it were, when you preach on someone like John the Baptist, because you always want Jesus to be centre. And I certainly do want that this morning. And when we think of the fragrance of Jesus, so many different things might come to our minds. Jesus, the babe in the manger. Jesus, the man on the cross for our sins, empty his tomb, risen and ascended into heaven, now at God the Father's right hand, who speaks to the Father on our behalf, and Jesus who will return to judge the living and the dead. That Jesus, that's the only Jesus, the Jesus of the scriptures that John prepared the way for. So have a look down at those words. And thinking of our national church, our land is in great peril at this time with COVID and Brexit. It's a really, really dark time. And I feel sad sometimes that the church seems so self-absorbed, which only goes, I think, to diminish the radiant glory of our lovely Jesus. How we need a John the Baptist amongst its leadership. Pray that we would have John the Baptist, that the Lord will raise one up amongst the leadership of our church. And then, if I may, a personal challenge with a heartfelt prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. May the beauty of Jesus fill my life. Lord, I want that so much today, for your beauty to fill my life. Make it your prayer. Fill our lives, Lord Jesus, to overflowing. Fill my thoughts. Fill my words. Fill my deeds. My all I give in adoration. Father God, thank you so much this morning for the witness of John the Baptist, who gave his all for Jesus. Please help us, each one of us, Father God, to be like John the Baptist and to give our all for Jesus. We ask this for his glory and his name's sake. Amen.
Well, thank you, Paul. Our next song is a great response to what we've just heard. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. And praying on these words, may the beauty of Jesus fill our lives. Perfect beauty of Jesus fill our thoughts, words, and deeds. May all we give in adoration. Amen.
Of Jesus, fill this place. May the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. Rising from the we
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together on this third Advent Sunday, we thank you that churches are open and we can worship together. We say thank you for technology which helps us to reach those who are listening at home to hear your word. In these dark, uncertain days, we pray for wisdom for our leaders to guide the UK with holy priorities. As we hear in the news about the rise in unemployment, domestic abuse, and poverty, we pray for protection against these things. Father, we pray for those less fortunate than ourselves who may not have enough food to eat, clothes to wear, warmth, and security. We pray that you help us be more Christ-like in giving generously to those who need, in need. We thank you for the new COVID vaccine released this week and pray for its success in protecting our vulnerable community. We pray that there is an end in sight to the fear of this dreadful virus. We thank you for the tireless work of the scientists around the world who have found a way to prevent more deaths. We pray this continues. Thank you, Lord, for NHS staff and key workers who are serving our country to keep it functioning. We pray people would adhere to the safety rules during this coming Christmas break to prevent further spread and harm. Thank you, Lord, that you know everything about us. We say sorry for our sins and thank you that you forgive us. We pray that you keep us safe in your loving hands and pray for opportunities in our daily lives to use the skills you've given us to be messengers of the true meaning of Christmas, to share the good news of Jesus Christ as our Saviour with our friends and families and colleagues who don't yet know you. Father, we pray for peace and comfort for those known to us who are ill in body, mind and spirit, and to those grieving the loss of a loved one. We take a moment to say their names in our hearts and raise them up to you. Thank you, Lord, for the consistent work of Francis and Georgina, the PCC, office staff, and all volunteers who have ensured that your word is heard and services and fellowship have continued where normality has been restricted. We pray for the week ahead. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so our thoughts, conversations, decisions, and behavior be a light in the darkness and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In closing our prayers, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Francis will now bring us church family news and notices.
Julian, can I have this clip mic on? It's not coming on. No. I'll come over here. Great to see you, everyone. Welcome this morning. We finished with some church family news and with a final prayer and blessing. So this morning at 11:30, we've got our regular Zoom virtual coffee, and this gives us an opportunity to connect with others in the church family and also to discuss today's teaching from the Bible. If you're not on the church email list, but you'd like to join in future weeks, do get in touch with me, send me an email, and I'll make sure that you get the Zoom link. This afternoon, the All Saints Club will be meeting with a 3 p.m. session for 4 to 11-year-olds and a 4 p.m. group for 11 to 15s. Our Christmas program is now available on the church website, and invite flyers are going out across the two villages in the parish this weekend and over the next couple of days. You've got a copy of that flyer on your seat today. We're going to go ahead with the Christmas Eve carols in the Fordham Church car park, which is great news. I'm pleased to say that we've got the 11 stewards that we needed to run this event safely. Thank you to everyone who's volunteered for that. We're going to call it Carols by Starlight. And as the service is outside, we'll all be able to sing carols together, which is really wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. Because of the COVID restrictions, it is essential that you and your friends and family members are booked for each service that you'd like to attend, and also that you read and think through the attendance guidance. All services will be booked through the church office, except for the Christmas Eve carols, which will be through Eventbrite, and booking details are on the website. Do please pray with me for God's leading and enabling with all our Christmas services and outreach. It's more complicated this year, and we want the message of the gospel to go out. So do pray for the church to be strengthened and for God's kingdom to grow over these coming days. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching at our regular 10 a.m. service, and we'll be looking at Mary's song from Luke chapter 1. We'll be learning from her response to the angel Gabriel's message that she's going to become the mother of Jesus, the Son of God. So I look forward to that. And following that, we're going to have a festive virtual coffee at 11:30. So you're invited to wear your favorite Christmas jumper and any other Christmas accessories that you'd like to show off on your screen. Santa hats, antlers, those kind of things. Then in the afternoon at 4 p.m., we have our Zoom Christingle service. We'll be gathering in our own homes for a fun and creative time, hearing the good news of the gospel together. Now, Georgina and I have already led one of these Zoom Christingles for Fordham School, and it was fun and it went really well. So we're looking forward to this one. During the Zoom, each of us will make our own Christingle, and we'll lead you through and explain the meaning of the different parts of it. If you'd like to join in, please email the church office by this Thursday, the 17th of December. And then kit bags with all the bits and pieces that you need for the Christingle will be delivered to your door. Do invite family and friends to join in. Well, we've come to the end of our service, and let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for John the Baptist, and we pray that in the same way that he pointed away from himself to the Lord Jesus, we would be the same. We pray for your leading and grace this Christmas season, that we can point to the Lord Jesus, making him the center, directing others to focus their attention on him. And we pray this for your glory. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.